as I can get. If time came tomorrow, the Lord chose to call you away. If you knew for certain today was your very last day, would you do the things, would you do the things you would choose? Don't put off till tomorrow the things that you should do too. What would the Lord find if he came and searched you today? Would he be proud of you? Would you bow down your head in shame? Tell me, my brother, what do you think he would say? If God came tomorrow, how are you living today? Would you call up that loved one and tell them how sorry you've been? Would you beg for forgiveness, not worried about your pride deep within? Would you visit that neighbor, the one you so harshly didn't judge? If God came tomorrow, would he find you living in love? So what would the Lord find if he came and searched you today? Be proud of you. You bow down your head in shame. Tell me, my brother, what do you think he would say? If God came tomorrow, how are you living today? The drunk on the streets, the rich in their palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the men of degree, they all have a soul. Amen.
afraid of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One.
Let's
99, I believe, to find me. And too many times in life, I've heard it said, and I've even heard people even describe it and say, well, I don't think God loves me. And even that song Little Lily was singing, I doubt sometimes you still love me. Well, it's not that God can't love me, it's just I feel like I've been too bad that he ought not to love me.
Right.
But I'm glad God don't think like I think.
Amen.
And God don't look upon man like I look upon man. And I'm glad to know this today, that if you need the Lord and you want something from God, he can give you something today. And he'll give that which you need. So we're thankful for that today. When we read in the book of Proverbs, only one verse today, one of my favorite verses, I think I'd have to say, and I've often quoted this verse, and I never forget the first time that it really stuck in my heart. And I do know that today, of all days, is more important now than it was yesterday. We had good Wednesday night service and good New Year's Eve watch night service. We thank the Lord for all the things that was sung and preached and testified and all the good eating and stuff. And somebody say amen on that eating. I felt something right there on that eating. And but, you know, those services are gone. And I like what, though we've had good times last year and good services and God's, we've seen some folks depart from us and move to a better country. And we've had, but we've seen folks get saved and born again. And that means they're going with us. And we'll meet them in that other country. But last year is gone. We'll never get 2015 back. Some of you might say, I don't want 2015 back. And that's fine with me too. But I want what God wants to give today. I don't want to focus on what happened yesterday. I don't want to hope for and bank on something that may not come tomorrow. But I do know the Bible says that God is a very present help. Very present help. That means he'll give you your help today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. If there's one flaw, I think, in every person's life is procrastination is a flaw in most, if not all, of our life. We put things off. And I think the first and the most important thing that we should never put off, and that's when God speaks and deals with our hearts. We should move whenever God speaks and deals with our hearts. So if you got Proverbs chapter number 4, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say hold up, preacher. All right, if you'd like to, you don't have to, but if you'd like to stand at your feet and witness, you can still reverence God's word sitting down, but just like when folks stand with us, we'll read this one verse and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And that's verse number 23, Proverbs chapter 4. And verse number 23, and this is what Solomon had wrote. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We'll read it one more time. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Would you help me pray? Precious God and merciful Savior, we come to you one more time today, Lord Father. We thank you for your blessed songs. We thank you, Lord God, for what I feel in my heart. And I pray, God, Lord, right now, Lord, I need that anointing from up on high, that fresh oil, Lord, that you give. And Lord, Father, and give that to your men. And Lord, Father, to stand and proclaim, Lord, Father. Lord, I ask you to preach through me one more time and like you ever have. Loose me, Lord, Father, from this body of the flesh. Lord, Father, hide me in the midst of the cross. As we've said, lose sight of ourselves, Lord, that we may be fit in your hand, a trumpet, Lord Father, to be sounded out, Lord Father. And Father, I pray for the hearts, not just mine, but everybody that's wanted to hear, Lord, that our ear would be opened into what you have to say. And God, I pray this morning, Lord Father, that your word would go out in power and demonstration, Lord, of your power and demonstration. And God, I pray today, Lord Father, that none of us, Lord Father, would leave unchanged. Lord, change us. Lord Father, may we be changed, Lord Father, in that, in the way that you want us to be changed. Lord, if we're here and we're saved, we're to be in the image of your dear Son. And Lord, if we're not saved, Lord Father, we're to be saved, to be in the image of your dear Son. And God, so I pray today, Lord Father, that we would close off our mind to the things of the outside world. Father, we would close our mind off to the hindrances and the distractions of the everyday life. But that, God, we would focus our attention and our heart, Lord God, upon these words. And Lord, I do know this, Lord, it will not go out and return unto you void. It will serve the purpose from which you sent it, Lord. We ask all these things in thy Son's sweet precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading with us today
here in Proverbs chapter number 4. I want to be preaching on, need to be focused on our heart. It is all about our heart today. I've probably preached more about the heart or the situation of the heart or how the heart plays into all manner of things. Brother James Powell, probably more than anything else I think the Lord's ever preached me on, is the heart. But I've often thought about this. The heart is the matter. The heart of the matter is the heart. So many times we look at it and we try to look at other instances or other outside circumstances, but it all starts with the heart and that of ourselves. Now, we could focus today upon the situation that's going on in the government, or we could focus on the situations of the things that's going on in our job places today. We could even focus on the situations that's going on in the family today or in the church today. But I'm asking you today, for this period of time that God's got our attention undivided to give to Him, that we would focus on our heart today. Because the Bible says, out of our heart are the issues of life. Preacher, what's that mean, that the issues of life? It is what comes out of our heart. That's the issue. From our heart, so is our life. I've often heard people say, well, the heart is just a muscle with chambers that pumps blood. But I'm not talking about the physical muscle that lies behind the sternum. I'm talking about the very essence that makes you who you are. That heart that you have inside of you, the heart that where you feel things that other things cannot feel. I've heard people say that we being different in individuals, as in God had breathed into our bodies and made us a living soul. He has gave us that spirit. And in that heart lies the things that issue from our life. In that heart is what makes us who we are. If you'll have it, that heart is the most important thing of our life. I've often heard people say that the most important thing is the job that you should have and the money that you should make, or the home that you live in, or the car that you drive, or your status in society or in the neighborhood or amongst the people. But can I tell you this? All those things will not come close to the issue, and that is of your heart. Because the one thing about your heart is you can't hide the issues of your heart. You can't mask them. You may be able to fool me on Sunday, but you can't fool nobody else on Monday. You may pull the fast one on me on Tuesday, but you won't pull nothing past God any other day of your life. For the Bible says God knows our heart. And in our heart, and what's in our heart, is who we are today. Can I say this today? There's many things in the Bible about the heart. And I want to get to these things of the heart. And then I want to get to the message about the heart that we ought to have. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 17, verse number 22. I'm going to go kind of fast. If you want the things, if I can copy notes or you can pick up a CD, it don't matter. But it says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Can I say this? I don't think anybody here wants a sorrowful heart or a broken heart. But Brother Jeff, I think we all want a merry heart. I hate being in a bad mood. I hate being sad. I hate being depressed. I love being happy. And the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Sometimes even when I don't feel like feeling good, that something will be said, or somebody will give a comment, or somebody might say something, and it cheers my heart. I've heard it said scientists have done studies and that a happy individual lives longer than a sad individual. Well, I do know this. Since we've been saved, Brother Jim Strong, we should be the happiest people there is. And since we're the happiest people there is, we should never have to worry about death, because the Bible says God hath given us eternal life. That should make you happy today. You should want to have a merry heart. On the other hand, you can have a heart of unbelief. And the heart, it says here in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12, he's speaking to the Jewish believers. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Can I say, your belief in God and your belief in the Lord and Savior comes from your heart. That's where it all takes place, is in the heart. And if there's any belief or if there's any unbelief, it issues from your heart. In Psalm chapter 57 and verse number 7, it's talking about your heart could be fixed. It says, my heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. That's not saying that it's been broken, fixed, but it's saying it's been established. It's not moving. It's focused on one thing. David said, my heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed, and I will sing and give praise. I've heard some people say, preacher, I ain't a very good singer. He's not looking for the well-qualified singer. I've heard some people say, I'm not a very good speaker. Well, lump yourself up with Moses. He tried the same thing, but he's not looking for the qualified. He's not looking for the gifted. He's looking for the willing one whose heart is fixed to sing and give praises unto him. I've told you before about the sister up in Franklin. She even admits, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But when she starts singing that song, Two Coats Were Before Me, she starts getting happy and clapping her hands. She's off beat. She's off key. But man, she's right in tune in that with God. Woo! Can I say this is today? You need to have your heart fixed and that fixed upon the Savior. Also, you can have a hardened heart. It said in Psalm 95 and verse 8, he says, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. It says in Proverbs 28, 14, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Proverbs 29 and verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Can I say there's people's hearts who have been hardened today, and your heart can be hardened. The things of the life, things of life can harden your heart. Sin can harden your heart. The things that come about you can harden your heart. Can I say this? A lot of times when you keep getting wrong and keep getting wrong, and God keeps correcting you, and you don't succumb and submit yourself under the leadership of the Lord, it'll harden your heart. Can I say this? In the Bible, it says in the book of Exodus that Pharaoh hardened his heart. In that unto the word of God. Y'all hearing this preacher this morning? I know I'm going kind of fast, but I got to get to where God wants me to get. I don't want to waste no time. But you can have your heart hardened today. As well as that heart could be merry, that heart can be hardened. As well as that heart can be fixed, that heart can be filled of unbelief. And I'm telling you this today, that your heart is the most important thing for you to have in this life and focused on. Can I say this? From your heart establishes your character. Your character comes from your heart. Now, I've often said this, you can dress it up, you can put a ribbon on it, you can dress it up in fine clothes, but the attitude, the character of an individual, you cannot dress up. They are who they are. Is that right? Is that right, preaching? I mean, too many times people have, you probably met some folks, I know I have, who have come across being someone or somewhat of what they think they ought to be or what you thought they might be. But the more you got to know them, the issue of their heart comes coming out, and you find out their character and of their heart. Somebody say amen. I know a lot of times in today, in 2016 now, and this is the first time it'll get preached this year, but character is a thing about a person, a qualification of a person. It's a thing about an individual that you don't see too much people caring about anymore. It's a trait. That's the word I was looking for. A good character is a trait that every man, woman, boy, and girl ought to have. I've heard people say, preacher, you've got some of the most well-behaved kids. I'm like, take them home with you and find out how well-behaved they are when they get to the house. And somebody says, what'd you do to get them that way? I said, I've whooped the far out of them. I don't know how many times. I mean, I've tried to roll over them. I try to be their dad, Brother Paul. I know some people don't like that, but a character is real important today. Can I say this? There's a lack of character in our government. There's a lack of character in our leadership. There's a lack of character in society. And can I say it's crept into the church house? There's a lack of character in a lot of church houses today. Can I say there's a character that comes out of the heart of the individual? Now, you can say you love God. You can say you love His church. You can say you love His word. But if you have a character of a hardened heart and of unbelief, you can't hide that today. Can I say this in Proverbs 23 and verse number 7? The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's saying how you think, how your process of what you perceive and what you analyze in your heart. That's who you are. I don't know about anybody else, but Scott, I've met some people that just seem like you can't please them. They've got something to always to complain about. I've met some people who just can't seem to be happy. I mean, they're the type of people, if they won Publishers Clearing House, and they'll say, well, what am I winning this check for? Well, it's for $1 million for Publishers Clearing House. They would complain that it wasn't for $1 million plus $1 million. I mean, there's nothing to have good to see in this world. I mean, think about this today. If you woke up this morning and you was able to come to church, you ought to thank God for the blessing that you have. When a person is thankful, that's when they're on the right track. When a person is unthankful, the Bible says it's perilous times. It's a sign of a bad character in their heart. And I'm telling you, character, as a man thinketh in his heart. So that's telling me that your heart does a lot of thinking. Your heart, you can't hide the thinking. In that heart, as a man thinketh, so as he is. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, they couldn't hide it from God. It says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's how his heart was thinking. That's how the population's character was. When they wasn't sinning, they was thinking about sinning. Somebody say amen right there. And the character is very essential. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 45. Here's another part of a man's character. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 18. But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Can I say this today? I've often heard people, and it's even talked about more and more now than it ever has been. But back in those days, they were scared to death if you washed or if you didn't wash your hands when you ate a meal. The reason why they were scared to death if you washed not washing your hands before you ate, it wasn't that they was worried about E. coli, Brother James. It wasn't that they was worried about dysentery. It wasn't that they was worried about some kind of disease being spread. But they worried about if they had come in contact with a sinner in the marketplace. They was scared to death. They was worried about if they had rubbed up against somebody who wasn't just like they was. Y'all hearing this, preacher? I mean, today's day and days, Brother Jim Strunk, and I know some folks may think this is mean, but I about had it up to here with all them preachers who always wants to load up the shotgun and blast the homosexuals, but they'll leave the deacon or they'll leave the Sunday school teacher or they'll leave the preacher alone who's still doing wrong, and they'll try to make somebody else more of a sinner than what the other people are because they're scared plumb to death of those people. But the Pharisee says that if you touched one of those sinners and didn't wash your hand, they was scared to death that their sin was going to get inside of them. But Jesus said, it's not what comes out of your, it's not what you take into your mouth is what defiles you. It's what comes out of your heart is what defiles you. I've heard people say, preacher, I'm a good person. But the Bible says, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And a good tree produces good fruit. And an evil tree produces good, produces evil fruit. They can't be switched one from another. I know it's not popular preaching today. I know it's not number one on the Facebook page. I know it won't be trending on Twitter. But I'm telling you this today, the character of an individual cannot be hid in their heart. From out of the abundance of the heart, so does the mouth speak. It's a heart situation today. It's a heart situation today. We need to focus upon our heart. Can I say this today? You could give your heart away. You can give your heart away. Y'all hearing this, preacher? I thought about this. I gave my wife my heart when we got married. And she gave me hers. Not too many people think about that too much no more. You're giving your heart away. But we do it all the time. We give our heart away. We give the very thing about us away. I thought about this. It says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 17. And this is what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. He says, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. He gave his heart to do something. He gave his heart to know something. I don't know how many times, but I think maybe this might make more sense to some of the younger crowd. How many of you stayed up all night long playing those video games? You gave your time. You gave that attention of your mind. You gave your heart to know that video game. Y'all don't look at me that way. I mean, how many of us have stayed up and or done things or focused on one thing and we give our heart to do it? And some people says, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it all the way. I'm going to do it exactly from my heart. We give our heart away. I wonder today if you would give God your heart. I wonder today that when you said, preacher, what do you mean give him my heart? I wonder today if you would give him your heart and say, God, this heart belongs to you. Everything in this heart, I want it to focus upon you. I know my character may not be right, but God, can you take out the things that's bad in my heart and put in the things that needs to be good in my heart? God, because I want to give you my heart today. God, I want to give you the very thing about me that I may walk in the right way, that I may talk in the right way, that I might be in the way when you look down and see and say, there's my beloved son, or there's my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Would you be willing to give your heart away today? You said, preacher, I gave my heart away whenever I got saved, and I understand exactly what you're talking about. But can I say, since we live in an old sinful world and we're clothed upon with an imperfect flesh, and since sin, we can't get out away from it, and sin is always seems like it's always present. But Brother James Powell, I have to stand here and say that every morning I give up, or get up in the morning before I go to work, or every morning I get up and go do something, or this morning when I got up to come to church, there was a decision that had to be made. What was I going to do with my heart? Was I going to give it to the worship of God? Was I going to give it to the Word of God? Was I going to give it to the things that God wanted to have to be done today? Would you be willing to give God your heart today? A lot of times when you give your heart to someone, sometimes they don't treat it that good. Huh? Don't get me wrong. Can I say this today? And I'm not trying to poke or anything like that or hit a sore spot. But I wonder how many marriages have been busted and broken because one didn't care so much about the other heart that was given to them. That is still right preaching. I wonder how many boys have given their heart away to girls and thinking that it was forever, but that girl didn't treat that heart like it was valuable. And I wonder how many times them young ladies, them young girls has given that heart away to that boy thinking that they would cherish them and honor them, but they did not care too much for that heart. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Can I say there's ghosts and there's shame and there's guilt that haunts the people's lives that are in a ripe old age now because someone who has mistreated their heart when they gave them their heart. Can I say you better watch who you give your heart to today? But can I tell you, for the most of us, surely there's one you can give your heart to. You can mark her down. He'll never treat you wrong. There's one you can give your heart to today. He'll never leave you high and dry. There's one you can give your heart today. You ain't got to worry about him breaking your heart. There's one you can give your heart today that will say, I will be with you forever, even to the ends of the world. And his name's Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to give him your heart today? Would you be willing to say, you know what, sink or swim, live or die, I'm going to give him my heart? How many people has been looking, and I know it's going to come out, people, but I got to give you, how many people, is that old Johnny Lee song, that's looking for love in all the wrong places? How many here today are lonely? How many of you today are seeking for someone to fill the void in your heart? As we've said, people has made fun of that statement, but I'm telling you, if you give the Lord your heart today, the loneliness will start to disappear. When you give God your heart, all the sadness will start to disappear. I've heard people say, well, preacher, you know, I'm all alone. I have no one. There was an individual I talked to all the time, and they always talked about how lonely they was, how lonely they was. And I would tell them, I said, you need to give your heart to God. And they said, I gave my heart to God when I got saved. I said, you need to get up every day and say, God, I'm giving you my heart. God, I'm sticking with you through thick or thin. And it seemed like every time I try to help this individual, every time they'd come asking, I'd give them the same answer. And I'm sitting there thinking, going, God, am I wrong? Am I not giving the right words? Is there some kind of special words that I need to give this person to see them to realize there is something that they can have that will take away the loneliness? And God said, the only thing you can give them is this word. And I tell you, I got a phone call not too long ago, and as I was talking to this individual, and they said, Brother Jason, I just want to let you know, I finally realized it's between me and the Lord, and me and him together, and that's what it's going to be until the end of this world. I said, I tell you what, isn't it such relief when you realize if you give God your heart, you know you ain't got to worry about him breaking it and leaving you high and dry. Would you give him your heart today? Can I say you can give your heart to him? If you give your heart to him, he'll also give you the desire of your heart. How many people, can I say this? How many people has probably forgot to pray that way, what they wanted in their heart? Huh? I come from a background where I was always told you never pray what you want in your heart. That's bad. You just pray for your needs. But Sister Faye, I found in Scripture where it says He'll give me the desires of my heart. Woo! It's my desire my babies be saved. It's my desire that you all be saved. It's my desire that you all be successful. And I found out that God showed me. He said, I will give you the desires of your heart. You said, preacher, you got proof? Well, yes, I got proof. I wouldn't say it unless I did. Psalm 37, verse 4. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If you delight yourself in God, can I say the first thing you need to do? Give Him your heart. Give Him your heart. Ladies, if you never had a man treat you good, this man will treat you good. Woo! I mean, I ought to get a Presbyterian woman to shout or say amen, something right there, to know that there's a man that'll treat them good, and His name's Jesus. He says if you delight yourself in Him, that means that you'd rather be with Him than be with anybody else. You'd rather go do something with Him than go do something with anybody else. That means you'd rather spend time with Him than anybody else. You delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, somebody might say, well, preacher, I desire to have me a brand new pickup truck, a bass boat, a deer stand, a new pair of shoes, a new purse, and all those other things. And can I say this? I ain't saying God can't give you that. He just might give you all those things. But I do know this, He will not give them to you unless you delight yourself in Him. You want them name it and claim it preachers? No, I'm one of them ask and receive it preachers. And I'm telling you this today, there's been some desires of my heart that God has given me, but it's only when I delighted myself in Him. I give Him everything. Which leads me to the next one before I get to the rest of the message. You can give your heart 100% to Him. So that means if you could give 100%, have you been giving Him a half-hearted life? Listen to this. Proverbs 3:5. Well-known scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Psalm 119:2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with a whole heart. Joel 2:12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. I've often heard people say, well, preacher, I've sought the Lord, and I've looked for Him, and I've come to church, and I've sat. And you keep talking about God speaking to me, and you keep talking about God going to do something for me. But preacher, God ain't never done nothing for me. And you know what? You're probably 100% right. Because you only gave Him half of your heart. You come to church, or maybe you're in life, or maybe you've went to church, or maybe you've heard, or you've read the Bible, or you've read some books, or maybe you watched the movies, you went to the movies and watched all the fancy movies, but you only give God half of your heart. But the Bible says until you give Him your whole heart, 100% of your heart. I've often heard people say, preacher, I've been in this way longer than you have. I was raised up in church. I mean, I saw everything. I mean, I've seen it since I was a little kid. I'm in my ripe old age now, and all them things you say, I have never seen. Well, you could have seen them. It's bad that you spent a whole lifetime not giving God your whole heart. You said, preacher, that's a hurtful thing to say. I'm not trying to be hurtful. I'm trying to be honest and let you know that in 2016, it is the fresh first start of the year. I mean, it's the first time most of you's been in church this year. And I'm telling you, the best way to start off your life and to start off this year is to give God 100% of your heart. Now, don't give Him 100% of your mind and say, well, I know to do this, and I know to do that, and I know to do this, and I know to do that. Because when you start doing it from up here, you'll never give Him 100% down here. I've often heard people say, well, you better not do this, you better not do that, because what other folks say, Jim Strunk, I've said this before, there's people right now that's probably won't even talk to me no more. They think I done flipped, they think I done went rogue, they done think I went rebel, they done think I done changed everything that I've stood upon. No, I realized one thing only, I've got to give my heart 100% to God. I can't give it to no other man. I'm not called by no other man. No other man has saved me. Denomination didn't save me, but the one who took my heart did. As so many times people's been on the side of the road, they've been flat tired, or they're shipwrecked because they have not given God 100% of their heart, or they're basing things upon somebody else and they're not giving God 100% of their heart. I'm telling you, you give God 100% of your heart, you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you your desires on top of your needs. Is anybody hearing the preacher this morning? Now, there is a stubborn heart. I know there probably ain't none of them in here today. Bible says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. That means when people get busted for doing something wrong, since they didn't get punished right then, the Bible says, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully setting them to do evil. Can I say this? There's a payday coming for all of us. Bible says, we like quoting that scripture in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 about be instant in season, out of season, reprove, preach, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. But in the very first verse, it says that when Jesus, when He shall appear, shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of His kingdom. Y'all hearing this preacher? Every idle word should be given account of. Is this all Bible? Am I wrong? Huh? I've heard some people say, well, preacher, I never got whooped for it. Well, just because you ain't got whooped yet doesn't mean the whooping ain't coming. I've said it here once before. I mean, I'll give you the most scariest words ever heard in my life growing up. Wait till your daddy gets home. Mom could whoop me, and I ain't going to lie, because my mom would whoop me now if I lied. When she whooped, it really didn't hurt that bad. But when she got done, she looked at me and said, now wait till your daddy gets home. Woo, you never saw a person pray so hard in their life, but never got one of them answered prayers. I got the whooping of my life. Though it didn't happen right then, didn't mean it wasn't going to happen. And some people live their life today like they got all the days in the world, like they got all the time in the world. But I'm telling you, your heart is stubborn. Your heart has been fixed in stubbornness. You won't bow down. You won't submit. And you won't say, God, I surrender. It's your life and your heart, not mine. He says in Ecclesiastes 9:3, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and they go, and after that they go to the dead. Can I say this? If you don't go to heaven, it's because you didn't give God your heart 100%. And it's filled with stubbornness and madness. If you was to sit down by yourself in your living room or your bedroom by yourself for 2 or 3 hours and have a conversation with yourself about how mad is it not to be saved? How crazy it is not to be saved? How lunatic it would be not to give God your heart? You young people, you think I've got all the time in the world, and if God tarries, you've got a whole lot more years than I've got. But how important it would be for you to give God your heart now. Can I say this, you young ladies? There ain't a boy out there who's going to care for your heart like God will care for your heart. Come on, somebody say amen. Some of these boys right here, they could care less. All they could care about is what they want. Is that right? I mean, I was a boy at that age. I'm just telling you what most boys go through. And can I say this? They care not about the things of this, about the things of a heart or the emotions or the love. All they care about is one thing. That's right, preaching. Don't you stare at me like a calf that's looking at Newgate. Faulkner, I'm looking at you. But then again, too, it's what's good for the girls is also good for the boys. I know how many girls just want to play that little game, string them along, think it's no big deal. I'll just string them along, ain't going to be no hurt to it. They don't care for your heart. I've heard people say, you can't preach that way, it's 2016. I know I'm kind of old-fashioned on this, and I know old-fashioned is way out of style, but it is still right. If it worked back then, it can still work today. God's word ain't changed. God ain't changed. The only one who needs to change is our heart. But it says this in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperate wicked. Who could know it? The Lord says, I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Lord knows your heart. Some folks try to mask it, as we said, but the Bible says one of the scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for they make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Their heart's filthy. As I said, you can try to dress it up on Sunday, but on the inside it's filthy. It needs cleansed. Take heed, brethren, lest any of you be filled with an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Can I say something to you, say, friend? And this is really on my heart. Just because you're saved does not mean you can't get wrong or your heart will not get hard in unbelief. I've heard some people say, preacher, I put in the time, I've done this, I've done that, and God ain't never done nothing for me. Yeah, he has. He saved your soul. Jeff, if he never does anything else for me for the rest of my life, it's more than what I deserved. Because he saved my soul. You said, preacher, this is the first. I mean, why couldn't we start off with a shout and jumping up, exciting type message? Well, it will be if you give God your whole heart. It says here in Acts chapter 13, verse number 22, this is how our heart ought to be. I'll be coming to a close here soon. Acts 13, verse number 22. This is what was said by the Apostle Paul. Luke writes it down. Verse 21 and 22. Said, and afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cus, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when they had removed, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be the king, be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. Now get this. God gave this testimony of King David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill my will. David was a man who was after God's own heart. And right now, some of you saying, going, David was a sinner. And you are right, David committed sin. Out of all those scriptures, Scott Strunk, I never found where God says, I want you sinless and perfect. Yeah. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. But he wants somebody to have a heart like his. Amen. Preacher, how can I get my heart like his? Well, get faith like David. When you're standing and everybody you're supposed to be standing with is shaking, scared to death, and there's a giant in front of you, do what David did. Look back and see where God has provided in the past and know that God will provide right then. Amen. Goliath come at him with staves and spears is what David said. But David said, I come at you in the name of the God of Israel. David said, it don't matter what I got, don't matter what you got, because I'm coming at you with God. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. The Lord shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory of Christ Jesus. Know this today. Sink or swim, live or die, no matter what comes your way, put your faith, 100% faith, your wholehearted faith, put it in God. When people say it ain't going to happen, put your faith in God. Don't do the open heart surgery, they're going to die. Nope, put my faith in God. Somebody says, it ain't going to matter what kind of cancer treatment you do. It ain't going to help. Nope, put my faith in God. Somebody says, that person will never get saved. They'll never get their heart right. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I want to put my faith in God. Preacher, my life's a mess. My life has been shipwrecked. I don't think I can ever get it under control. And you're right, you never will. But the first time you let go of the helm, let go of the steering wheel, put all your faith in the captain, he'll steer you home. Amen. Secondly, love the Word of God. Be a Bible thumper. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think it's a miracle how in 2016 we can get ourselves a Bible. We can cling to it, we can read it, we can love it. The challenge has been thrown down for the last 2 or 3 years. Get your Bible read in a year. And some of you won't challenge yourself. But I'm telling you, if you want your heart fixed, if you want that heart to be merry, if you want that heart to stay sure, if you want that heart to be good, grab that Bible and crack her open every day and read it. Preacher, I don't understand the words. Hey, I don't understand some things neither. That's why I told you, get the dictionary. Preacher, I don't understand what it means. I can't figure it out. I can't either. If you can tell me how the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost are one, then I want you to explain to me how a black cow can eat green grass and produce white milk. I can't figure it out. But I just believe in it, Brother Jim Strong. Do you believe in it? What in the world? If a black cow ate green grass and produced white milk, do y'all believe that? Well, here's yet. If we wouldn't got us a giant bowl of ice cream and I'm buying it all, you want to sit down and talk about it? Huh? I would. You buying the ice cream? Who might? There's things we do all day long and we can't figure them out. We can't dissect it. We can't put it underneath a microscope. We can't figure it out. We just leave it alone and say, I believe it. Do you all see the oxygen, the nitrogen's in the air? No, you just believe it and you just breathe it. But how many times we sit there and say, God, I believe in your word and I think you're going to be there. And I'm almost positive going, but I really don't know for sure. And I'm going to wring my hands. I'm going to walk the floor. But I'm telling you, if you put your faith in God 100%, grab that King James Bible and hold it up in the air and say, I'm trusting in your word and I'm trusting in you. You can't go wrong. Thirdly, here's the heart that everybody has a problem with, including me. You need to have a repenting heart. Jim, if I had a dime for every time that I was told by preachers that we should not be preaching repentance in 2016, but more and more people need to repent. It's hard to admit when you're wrong. Thank you, Jerry. We're the only two wrong people in church today. It's hard to admit when you're not right. It's hard to admit when you've made a mistake. It is. Even when you're young, young people tend to run from the mistake. They'll say, I'll just run from it, maybe it'll go away. No, you're chained to it. You'll never get away from it. I talked to somebody last night. I said, the best thing to do is go to that problem, get it, and give it to Christ. Somebody says, well, I didn't do nothing wrong. I've asked people to forgive me. I still don't think I've done nothing wrong too. And you said, why'd you ask them to forgive you for? Because I did not want it keeping me from having my whole heart given to God. And I did not want them hindered neither. I've said it before. I know I've repented because I'm still repenting. I'm not going back out in the bars. I'm not cheating on my wife. I'm not doing all those things. But the Bible says, no, to do good and do it not, to him that is sin. And if you've committed sin and you've covered it up, that Bible also says you will not prosper. The only way you can prosper is to confess that sin and then forsake that sin. David had faith. David trusted in the word. And then David finally said, I repent. Psalm chapter 51, repentance. Repentance, repentance. If you're here today and you ain't saved, here's what you need to do. And then I'm coming to a close. Christian, would you just come? Just Christian himself. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You've got problems. You've got questions. You've got fears. You've got concerns. You've got situations. Once you come seek the Lord about it with all of your heart, don't come down here or don't go to God and say, now listen here, God, this is how we're going to do this. No, that's not how God works. I've often seen there's people in my family, I think of them as a kamikaze pilot. I don't know if anybody remembers who the kamikaze pilots were of Japan, but they were the ones when their ship, some of them did it even when their plane was still good, but they would, when their plane would get disabled and they couldn't do no more damage with the guns or the bombs, they would fly that plane and sacrifice themselves into the ship or to the boat of the enemy. And there's people that I know who will not, because the ideology that they had, but there's people that I know, they're going to go down. They're going to burn because they will not surrender and they will not submit. Can I say this today? Give God your whole heart. Seek him with your whole heart. And I'm telling you, if you ever wanted to see a miracle, you'll see one in your own life. You'll see one in your own life. Why? Because He loves you. He does not want you to be disappointed. He does not want you to be hurt. As we've said here lately a lot, you are going to be persecuted. You are going to have tribulations. But if you give God your whole heart, you got somebody to be there with you through all that problem. And here's what He said in Romans chapter number 10 and verses number 8 through 10. I'm in the wrong book. He said this, Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can I say this? Though a lot of people say, well, preacher, that's just the Romans road. Well, if it's just the Romans road, I'm glad it's on the map of God. It's a heart thing today. Can I say this? To be totally honest, please start playing Amazing Grace. Please. There's some of you here that's saved and you've got situations and circumstances in your life. You keep putting off, you keep putting off, you keep putting off because you don't want to have to deal with the circumstance. You don't like confrontation. You don't have to deal with the things that's going on. But I'm telling you what you need to do to have that heart set for the rest of 2016 is come give 100% of your heart to God. Seek Him with all your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and do the things that David did. Put your faith in Him, trust in His word, and repent. You said, preacher, will it work? It has to work because God said it does. Preacher, do you know it works? Yes, I know. I've had to swallow my pride. I've even almost had to crawl back to people and ask them to forgive me. And I did not like doing it. But once I left, Sister Michelle, I felt so free. I felt so free. Some of you here today and you're uncommitted. You like coming to church, and then all of a sudden, you don't like coming to church. Then you'll like coming to church, then you won't like coming to church. You don't have that desire in your heart. You say, preacher, how do you know I'm not sticking close to God outside of church? Because if you're sticking close to God outside of church, you'll stick close to God in church. Got too much Bible to say otherwise. And some of you here. And you're not saved. You're not born again. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're upset. Maybe you're mad at God. I don't know the circumstantial situation. But I do know this. I do know this. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him. Because He cares for you. I can't promise you nothing. But His word promises you that if you seek Him with all of your heart, He'll be found with you. I just read to you in Romans chapter 10, if you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart 100%, you shall be saved. And what you need to do, and what we all need to do, is to fully commit our heart to God 100%.